for what we're gonna, what I'm gonna talk about. Be honest, I could have gone in a bunch of different directions once again, and but a prevailing theme has been kind of running through my mind, and so today I'm gonna hopefully get a start into that, and then as usual I start a series right when we're gonna have a little break off. I don't know why I always seem to do that. My timing is impeccable when it comes to that. But if you will turn with me if I can find it, Titus chapter 3. And verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. How many know that you haven't done anything good enough to deserve this, right? We all understand that. I haven't done anything good enough to deserve this. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. I want you to hang on to that word. And renewing of the Holy Ghost. I want you to hang on to that. Not by works of righteousness, nothing that I have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by, it tells us how he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to hopefully bring this all together this morning. And I'm going to start this, and I might go on to this for a few more weeks. And I'm simply entitling it, The Benefits of the Holy Ghost. How many understand you have some benefits? How many understand there are some benefits that are made available to us? Jesus, God, one more time, Lord, I ask for your help here tonight. Today, Lord, I need your touch. I need your help. God, I need your strength. I need your spirit, Lord, to speak through me. And Lord, I know what you've given me. I know what I feel in my heart. And God, I just need your help to bring it forth in the right manner. I know that under my own ability, Lord, I can't do this. But God, if your spirit would empower me. God, if your spirit, Lord, would speak through me. God, if your anointing would come upon me, Lord, I know that something could be said, Lord, that would help us, Lord, that would encourage us, that would strengthen us, God, that would embolden us, Lord, to do what you're calling us to do and what you're desiring for us to do. Lord, let someone take these words that are spoken, and Lord, let it be applied to their life, and let them, Lord, let the words be life-changing for them. God, help me, Lord, as I preach your word. Jesus' name. Amen. The benefits of the Holy Ghost. The thought that just keeps going through my mind is simply sometimes I don't think we fully understand what we have or what is available to us. I don't think we often go through and recognize really what we have when we have the Holy Ghost. Too many Christians walk around defeated and depressed. Too many go through this life wandering aimlessly and meandering down just a path, not really sure what their purpose is and what their calling is and what the will of God really is in their life. And they struggle with sin, and they struggle with temptations, and they struggle with things of this world, and they struggle with the thoughts that try to run rampage through our minds, and we really don't live the overcoming life that God intended when he gave us this new birth. The reason for this is simple. Too many times we have lost track of where we're going. We're unclear of the direction. Not, hear me today, because God has abandoned us, but because either we have tuned him out. Can I give us a little example? How many have ever had kids? How many have heard their voices so many times talking to you that there are times they talk to you and you don't hear them? Hey, I wasn't going there. Uncle Bobby. My wife, and I have to say this, I have been guilty of this on many occasions, and my son Josiah likes to talk. And we're in the truck, and we're driving along, and I mean, he's just going. And after a while, my wife will look at me and say, Joe, he's talking to you. But I've heard his voice, but I've stopped paying attention to what he's saying. I'm making a spiritual analogy because our God in heaven talks to us and he will speak to our hearts. But too often the case is that we tune him out, and it's until somebody says, hey, wait a minute, God's trying to say something to you. Hey, wait a minute, stir your mind, wake up a second, hear what's being said, because God wants to speak to you. Too often we go through this life and we tune out the voice of God. Man, we tune him out sometimes because we willfully want to. Because he's telling us, son, don't do that. Please don't go there. Please don't act like that. Please don't have that thought. Please don't go there. Please don't do that. And I willfully, and we tune them out. Why? Because I don't want to hear it. And then we wonder why I feel guilty. But let me tell you, God hasn't stopped talking. The issue is not that God's not trying to get our attention. The issue is that I've stopped listening. We've either tuned out his voice or we have become distracted by the cares of this life. The things of this life pull us in a bunch of directions. And right now, there's probably some of you thinking in your mind right now, saying, man, you talk about this subject a lot. You're always talking about this distraction thing. My response simply is this. If there is one thing this generation faces here in America, it's not persecution. We're not being persecuted for what we believe. It's not really even ridicule, because they really don't care what we believe as long as we don't try to force it on them. Because the prevailing thought of this world is, you believe what you want to believe, I'll believe what I want to believe. And we're really not facing ridicule. I just feel like the Apostle Paul, if he was here right now, he would say, we live in a world that says you can do anything you want, just don't force it on me. We're not being martyred for what we believe. But I'm going to tell you what we face. We have temptations on every side. We have things around us that pull for our time, that pull for our resources, that pull for our attention. And so if there is one message that this generation needs to hear, and I could see the Apostle Paul saying that to us, as he says, look, don't allow your hearts and your minds to be distracted by the cares of this world around you. We cannot lose sight of what we have and what we're supposed to be doing. It was Jesus who understood this. When he began to teach about the four types of ground, there is the hardened ground, there is the ground full of stones, there is the ground full of thorns, and there is the good ground. Let me tell you what he said concerning the ground filled with thorns, because I believe this is where most of Christianity lives right now. Notice I said Christianity. Mark 4:18, and these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. It's not that we don't know the word. It's not that we don't know the truth. It's not that we don't know what's right and what's wrong. Let me tell you, it's not even that I don't know what the will of God is in my life. It's not even that we don't know what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. But the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, the desires of other things are choking out what we know to do, what we're supposed to do, what he's called us to do. And instead of people living lives that are full of the Holy Ghost, that are walking on fire, that are living in a right relationship with God, instead of that, we're walking around with our heads hung down, feeling depressed, feeling discouraged, feeling defeated. But if I can get something through to us today, if you only understood the power of the Holy Ghost that you have, the strength of this God in heaven that wants to... Let me talk about this fruit for a second. Romans 7:4, it says, wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another. In other words, you should be joined to something else. I'm not joined to the law. You ready? I'm joined to the Spirit. Because when I'm joined to the Spirit, and I'm joined with the Spirit, I'm walking hand in hand. I'm living with the power of an almighty God. That ye should be married to another, even to him, watch, who has raised from the dead. That's Jesus Christ. That we should bring forth. Why was the word given to us? Why do I stand up here week after week? Why do you read your Bible day after day? Let me tell you why. Because there's some fruit that you and I are supposed to be bringing forth to God. Oh my goodness. There's something that we should be showing. Because watch, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. In other words, when I walked in sin, I bore the fruit of sin. I carried with me the fruit. It was visible. It was seen. I could understand it. I could recognize it, that I was not living right. Because there was some fruit that was showing in my life. But when I was born again, when I was created all new, there's another set of fruit. I want you to look back. I want you to read. We're going to step back a chapter to Romans 6:21. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? In other words, what fruit was you carrying when you were walking in shame? When you were walking in guilt? What fruit was evident in your life? I want you to understand, you can't bear two types of fruit. I should have put it in there. Because Jesus actually said, and actually it's right before the passage I'm going to put in, he actually said, a vine tree cannot bear another type of fruit. You can only bear one type of fruit. Amen. Let me tell you today, if you've got fruit that's not of God, what you need of the Holy Ghost. What you need is repentance. Let's read this. What fruit had ye then? Those things were all you now ashamed, for the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Have you ever wondered why it's called the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit? It's because God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. He says, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So I have to have fruit unto holiness. I've got to have fruit that shows I'm pure before God. I'm right before God. I'm living in the right way. That's where we get the passage, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to notice where that follows. That follows bringing fruit unto holiness and not bringing fruit unto death. We need a lifestyle of holiness, of purity, of righteousness before God, both in our inward being and in our outward being, every part about us, from what I see to what I look at to what I hear to what I wear. I need a lifestyle of holiness on what I'm allowing to go through this brain, what I'm allowing in my heart, the attitudes I have, the things I'm doing. It's called fruit. And we can't have two types of fruit. Galatians 5:22 tells me this. But the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit. Everybody say with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I can have as much of that fruit as I want, and there's no law that's needed. The law was needed because the Spirit of God is in them. Do you understand today the reason our government has to pass more and more and more laws is not simply because they're trying to control us. It's because we are not living with the Spirit of God. Because if this world had the Spirit of God living through them, let me tell you, the laws wouldn't be necessary. They've got to pass all these laws about how we treat each other, about what's right and about what's wrong. But let me tell you, if I was walking in the fruit of the Spirit, I wouldn't need a law. That's why the Spirit is above the law. It's not because it's against the law, and it's not because we shouldn't obey the law, but when I'm filled with the Spirit, I go so far, I rise up so far above the law becomes no consequence. Amen. Amen. If you only felt what I felt right now. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. You wouldn't need all these laws if we loved one another. You wouldn't need to pass hate crimes if we loved one another. You wouldn't have to... We wouldn't have to have all those things if we loved one another. If we lived in joy, if we lived in peace, I wouldn't have to even worry about a border. I wouldn't have to worry about my neighbor's property line and my property line if I lived in peace. Long suffering. If I would just learn to suffer a little bit more without losing my top.
Hello.
I won't preach that to anybody. I'll look this way. But let me tell you what a Christian should be doing. A Christian should be suffering long. Meaning I may not always like what's happening to me. I may not always think that they're treating me right. But guess what I'm not going to do? I'm still going to be a Christian. Because the word of God lets us know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. I don't have to take the matter into my own hand because I've got a God who's in heaven who said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He says, look, if you'll seek me, I'll take care of all that. You know, let me hit a word. It says, well, we lived in gentleness, goodness. We had faith. What about this word meekness? A lot of people make that word out to be weakness. The word meekness is not weakness. The word meekness is actually meekness. Moses, the Bible says Moses was the meekest man that ever lived. Moses was not a weak man. He withstood people. He stood up. He led millions of people. That's not a weak man. But the Bible says he was the meekest man in the face. You know why? Because when people came against him with accusations, he did not attack them back. Instead, you find him bowing his face towards God and saying, look, I'm not putting my confidence in my own ability. I'm putting my confidence in God Almighty. And when I trust in him, God will show up. The word temperance, you have to understand what the word temperance is. It's simply, it's a word that our generation needs to hear more than anything. It's self-control. It's being able to control myself from what things I spend my time on to what things I put in my body to how I spend my money. It's self-control.
Amen, amen.
There is a word that we need to know. It's called restraint. All things are not unlawful, the Bible says, but not all things are profitable. There are some things that I just withdraw from, withstand from, not because they're unlawful, simply because I understand what they do in my life. Those of you that have been here for any time, you know, and I'm there's no way I'm getting through. I'm pausing way too much. If there's one thing you all understand, those have been here a while, you know this, that I had to make a decision on something where I said I'm going to cut out sports and that kind of stuff from out of my life. That was about 6 years ago. You know, I wouldn't even have heard about the LeBron James signing if it wasn't for my boy coming home from baseball practice and all the kids talking about it. I wouldn't even have known it happened. And you know what? I could have cared less. Do you know why? Because this world is not my home. I'm just, look, there's nothing wrong with some of that stuff. There's nothing wrong with having enjoyments and having recreations. But I had to understand in my life that that was becoming a god to me. And I was following it too closely. And it was robbing me of my time with God and my time with my family and the things I needed to be doing. And I recognized that that stuff was not helping me. It was robbing me. And so while it wasn't wrong, I understood something. It wasn't right for me. And so I had to show restraint and I had to withdraw. I can speak about temperance or self-control. You have to have it. Because everything's available to us today. It's all there. You ready? I'm getting ready. Click into gear. It was Jesus who said this. If you think I've been making this whole thing up, it was Jesus who said this. Wherefore, by their fruits. That was not my words. That was Jesus. Look it in your Bible. It's red. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Not everybody who calls him Lord, Lord, is going to enter in. That should speak to us very strongly. That speaks to me very, very, very strongly. Because watch what this says. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wondrous works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He calls those who use his name but don't have right relationship with him. He says you're working and walking and living in iniquity. It's not just about the name I proclaim. It's about the God that I love. It's not just about me saying in the name of Jesus, and I've prophesied before, and I've in his name, and I've cast out devils in his name, and I've seen many wondrous works done in his name. But let me tell you, I don't look at what I'm doing to know I'm living right. You know where I find that? It's when I'm praying. It's when I'm seeking him. It's when I'm bowed before him. It's when he's speaking into my life. Yes. Yes. He said, not everyone's going to enter. Only those that do the will of my Father. So I guess today, the question is before us, what is the will of God? That seems to be the big challenge for many to understand. What is the will of God for me? What is his will? Now, I'm going to cover this at a later point, but I want to say something right now. The Holy Ghost will speak to you if you listen. I'm going to prove that in a week or so. The Holy Ghost will speak to you if you will listen. Let me tell you, the will of God is for you to hear his voice and obey it. I'm going to walk us through this real quick. Hopefully, I'm going to switch gears. I'm going to get done real quick. I'm going to walk through this. To know the will of God, to know the will of God, I have to hear what he's telling me. Then I have to obey what I've heard. It is through right relationship that I hear clearly. What he is saying, it is through right relationship that I'm willing to obey and submit to what he's telling me. Let me tell you, it's based upon right relationship with him. when I love him more than anything else, when I've cast out all those thorns that are trying to choke the word in my life, when I begin to get rid of those things in my life that aren't right, that I know aren't right, when I start pulling those things from off of me and I start getting in right relationship with him, let me tell you, that's when I begin to hear his voice. If I'm not in right relationship, I won't submit. If I'm in right relationship with God, I will submit. If I'm in right relationship, he speaks, I say, okay. He says, go, I say, how far? He says, jump, I say, how high? It doesn't matter. I hear his voice and I obey. That's right relationship. When I'm not in right relationship, he says go and I say I'm not sure. He says go and I say, well, is that God or was that me? When I'm not in right relationship, he says jump and I say, but everybody's looking at me. I don't want to make a fool of myself. When I'm in right relationship, what he says, I do. Can I make it any more simple? It is through right relationship that I hear clearly. It is through right relationship that I obey and submit. But here, ready? But the first will of God. In 2 Peter 3 and 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me tell you, his first will is that you and I are saved. That's his first will. That's his first order. That's what he wants. The danger zone is when I'm saved, but I stop hearing his voice. It was Jesus who said the purpose for his coming was in Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to restore the right relationship that was lost with Adam in the garden. How is that done? How is the right relationship restored? How do I fulfill that will of God in my life? Remember, he said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He tells us and he gives us this understanding in John chapter 3. If I had time, do I have time? I got a couple people that had time. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Here we have a man who was a Pharisee who obviously saw something in Jesus, but he was afraid of what others might think about him, and so he came to him at night. And he starts off by giving him a compliment. You ever had someone do that to you? Trying to get something out of you, they give you a compliment. I enjoy compliments from time to time, but I also know when they're coming for a reason. And he comes to Jesus and he says, I know you're a teacher sent from God, because no one could do these marvelous works you're doing unless God sent them. Jesus, knowing the heart of this man, looks right through that. He doesn't even answer or speak to what this guy was saying. Instead, Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't even see it. Nicodemus looks at him and says, well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? I told the story about my little boy. I won't do it again. You have to listen to a different time I preached about. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born," now he's getting specific, "unless a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." He says, Nicodemus, you don't understand this totally right now, but I'm going to explain this, what born again means. Born again means you're born of water and you're born of Spirit. And then he explains it further. That which is born of flesh is flesh. In other words, when I was born as a child, that was the flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. In other words, I'm not born of the Spirit when I came out of my mama's womb. And I'm not born of the Spirit through a fleshly means. I'm only born of the Spirit when the power of the Holy Ghost. He says, "Marvel not, don't be so surprised that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it comes or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." In other words, I don't know when it comes and when it goes. I don't know the next time the wind of rushing mighty wind will fill the house where we're sitting. But I do know this, when it does, there will be those who are filled with the Holy Ghost. Because so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Jesus says you can't enter because his will is, first of all, salvation. I mean, let me jump to Titus. Let me wrap up. Let me jump to Titus 3, verse 1. He says, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work." I want you to understand what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, do good. Live right. Live holy. Be subject unto those that are in your principalities, those that have rule. Obey the magistrates. Obey your judges. Obey your rulers. Be ready to do a good work, to speak evil of no man. Can I repeat that one? To speak evil of no man. Let me repeat that one more time. To speak evil of no man. Don't be speaking evil of people. That's not what a Christian does. I don't care if I don't agree with them. I don't care if I don't like them. I don't speak evil of them. I say, God, forgive me and help them. Let me tell you when I know I've forgiven somebody. I know I've forgiven them when I can say, Jesus, I want you to bless their life. Then, what they've done to me has no hold on my life. That's for another day. To be no brawlers, but gentle. Here's that word meekness again. Showing all meekness unto all men. There it is again. For we ourselves are also were sometimes... How many was sometimes this? Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving different lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. I'm sorry, you can put my name beside each one of those. I've done it. I'm not here casting a stone at any one of you. Because I understand, I've been there. I've done that. I've had to repent, and I've got the t-shirts. But after that, everybody say, but after that, meaning after I had done all of that. In other words, it was of no works that I have done. It was of nothing that I ever done. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. It was after that It was after I'd done all that, and I was all that, and I lived like all of that, and I should have been ashamed, and I should have been found guilty, and I should have been judged, and I should have been held responsible for all of these things. But the love of God came in, and His mercy. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration. I told you to hold on to that. And the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. This is where justification by grace is found. That being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Where's it found? The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Do you know what the word regeneration means? This is what it means. Regeneration means rebirth or new birth.
Amen.
By the washing of the new birth, Paul did not contradict Jesus. Paul said, you get this, you are justified by grace through the new birth. He's telling Titus, the reason we have what we have is not because we've done anything to deserve it. It's because the mercy of God made available to us the new birth.
Amen.
And renewing, I want you to catch this, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You ready? The word renewing, we like to think of it as happening again. The word renewing there, I checked this over and over and over to make sure I was correct, means renovation.
Amen.
By the washing of the new birth and the renovation of the Holy Ghost. Oh, you got to understand what that means. You've got to understand what you have. The benefit of the Holy Ghost is that when the Holy Ghost come in, it renovates our lives. When the Holy Ghost comes into a life, it renovates us. It means there's things there that didn't belong. Well, the Holy Ghost says, that's got to get out. And He looks in that crevice of where we've got something hidden, and the Holy Ghost says, I've got to clean that up. I've got to get that out of there. Look, I know all about renovation. I've remodeled a house from top to bottom. I know what it means to get rid of some things and to tear some things down and to remake some things. And I also understand that even when I've done it once, guess what? After a period of time, I've got to go back in. Because after a while, things start to get old. They start to decay. My parents just built a new house probably 10 years ago. And my dad was just telling me. He said, you know, Joe, here in a couple years, in about a year or so, I'm going to have this house paid off. And he said, when I do, I'm going in and I'm redoing the whole house. Why? Because some things have started to fade. The carpets have started to get worn. Some things don't look like they used to look. And let me tell you, every now and then, it would be good for every single one of us to say, you know what I need? I need a renovation of the Holy Ghost. I need the Spirit of God sweeping through me again. That is why the scriptures say, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's all stand. Let me tell you what this church needs. what I need, what each one of us needs here in this first half. We're closing out a half of a year. You know what we need? We need a renovation of the Holy Ghost. I need a renovation of the Holy Ghost. I need a fresh spark. I need some more things taken out. I need some more things put in. Look, I'm not standing here on a pedestal above anybody else. What I'm saying is, what we need is that the Holy Ghost can have free course and free will and free reign. It can tell me what to do. It can tell me what not to do. It can tell me what to cut out of my life. It can tell me what to put into my life. It can tell me where I need to do. I need a renovation of the Spirit of God. Let me tell you what you need today. We need a fresh touch of the Spirit. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, let me tell you, seek for it with everything you've got. Look, the wind blows where it lists. I don't know when it's coming, when it's going, but everyone is born of the Spirit when the breath of God breathes into them. And if you need a fresh touch of His Spirit, if you need a touch from God, I would encourage you to find a place to pray right now. Say, God, start over in me again. You know, God, what would be a good thing to do right now? Jesus, you've washed me. You've cleansed me. You've done good things in me already. But God, create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. But Jesus, seek. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there's... Is there something? Is there something there, God, that's not pleasing to you? Take it from me. Take it from me. Take it from me. Renovate me. Let your Spirit breathe through me fresh again. Let your Spirit speak through me again. Let your Spirit come through me again. Jesus. 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 Come on, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the sinner forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. And God will abundantly pardon you.